of the lamp and the church is for how long? And let me tell you something. Marriage is a type. Our natural marriage is a type of the union of Christ and the church. If God say what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. How comes you believe that between you and God or between you and Christ, somebody can put asunder? Not even sin can separate you from him. He said, what shall separate us from this love? He said, persecution cannot. Death, hunger. He named them. Sickness cannot separate me. You are forever tied to him. That's one of our inheritance. There are so many others, you know. We are going to look at that and you begin to understand. But listen, you can't come to the reality of this in your life if you don't have the revelation of Jesus. Because it is in Jesus that all this is made available for us. Praise God. The riches of his glory in his inheritance. Inheritance. There are some children today. They were born into an inheritance. They didn't know the person that worked for it. Yes. I remember one rich man's son that was interviewed. They said, what is the day he ever suffered in his life that you say, okay, well, today I suffer? Do you know what he said? He said, I bought a public transport. That was his suffering. Why? There was inheritance. See, listen, you don't have any reason to suffer, either naturally or spiritually. Listen to me. When Christ died, he brought us in as fellow brethren, as beloved. And so the Bible says we are joint heirs. Heirs are those who have rights to inheritance. Say, I have rights. We are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever rights Christ had to the inheritance of the Father, I have it. Say, I have it. We are joint, equal share. Because the Bible says, he be not ashamed that he called us brethren, being the firstborn among the dead. We are fellow brethren with Christ. So the right Christ has to the inheritance of the Father, you have the same thing. What can separate Christ from God? Mention it. There was only one thing. Our sin. And he took care of our sin. If nothing can separate him again, if he is forever in the Father and the Father is in him, I am forever in the Father and the Father is in me. I don't care how I feel. You know, there are times you feel God is not around you. It's your emotion that is lying to you. There are times you pray, you feel God is not there. Let me tell your neighbor, say you are forever tied to him in fellowship. Fellowship. And now listen to me. No matter what you are going through, that's why he said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is in the inheritance. I just feel like singing in tongues. You know, when revelations like this hit my spirit, I like to sink it in by singing in tongue. Yeah, I like to sink it in. You know, when you eat, you want it to digest. Don't bother about the interpretation. Fellowship with the Father. That you may know why are believers engaging themselves in a rat race. Gimmicks. You know, people bring gimmicks into the church. If you know what we got, you won't be using philosophy to gather people in church. We bring comedians into the church to come and make us laugh. If you know what you got, the joy of the Father. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is power and joy in the Holy Ghost. Revelation. By your blood, we crush principalities. Can you sing? Can you sing?
Jesus. Jesus, by your name, by your name, establish authority. Come on, sing Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, the righteous. Sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus,
you reign.
You reign over all. Jesus, sing Jesus. Jesus,
Jesus. Listen. Of the inheritance is that he said, my Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand side until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The sitting is the place of authority, the right hand is the place of power. And the Bible says, where he is, that is where you are. We are seated together, we are not just joined, we are not just joint heirs with him, we are jointly seated. The seat is not a chair. It's the place of power. We know where we are. Physically, you may be walking on earth. You may not have so much money in your account. But listen to me. If by revelation you know Christ, you know you are not an ordinary person. Stop comparing yourself with an unbeliever that's driving a car on the street. You are more than car. You are more than money. What is in you, money can't buy. Hello. This gives you, listen to me, I've told it before. A believer does not see himself except in Christ. When the revelation, he said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, that you may know the riches of his glory and your inheritance, the riches of his glory and your inheritance in him. When you know Christ, three things the revelation of Christ does to you. Number one, it reveals you to you. Temporal revelation given to Peter. Matthew 16 from verse 16. Who did people say I am? Some said you are Elijah. Some said you are Moses. He said, now you my disciples, you have seen miracles. You have seen me open the eyes of the blind. That's how many believers are. There is a miracle part of Christ. There's a revelation part of him. They have seen miracle, but they have not seen Christ. He said, you have been following me. They have seen Christ done a lot of things. He raised the dead. He said, who did you say? Can you imagine? They didn't know who he was. They say, you know, some people say, you, who did you say I am? And Peter rose up here and said, you. He said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Even the prophets that prophesied the entire Old Testament did not know that. Even John the Baptist only pointed, he said, behold the Lamb. That was the height he could see. Behold the Lamb of God, John 1:29, that has come to take away the sin of the world. That was and Jesus said, he said, for among all the prophets that has come, there's not as great, none as great as John the Baptist. He said, but the least among you will be bigger than John. Why? We have a clear revelation that they did not have. Interpret it in your spirit. Hallelujah. Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This is not from your brain. This is not from your fishing experience, Peter. My Father gave you this. Immediately, I say, you, Peter, you are the rock. As soon as Peter has a glimpse of Christ, Pete, immediately he showed him himself. Say, you are a rock. You will be shaken, but you won't fall. That was, I'm talking about Peter. We are quick to say amen. Listen very, very for you. What the meaning of rock is, nothing will move you. Yeah. And so when he said, Peter, I have strengthened you, go strengthen your brother. Listen, God, Jesus was not perturbed when Peter denied him three times. Because he knew what he has seen about Peter. One day he called him, he said, Peter, the devil desire to swift thee like a weed. He said, but I have strengthened you. You are the rock. Now, when he said, Peter, you are the rock. And some people now said, you know, he now said, on this rock will I build my church. He was not referring to Peter as the rock. He was saying, on this revelation you just said about me, is where the church will be established. That's Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, and no gate of hell will prevail against it. And so let me tell you all this. There's all this mentality about witchcraft. My father's witch family, mother's side, father's side. Listen, listen. When you come to full revelation of who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ, the Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 10, you are complete in him. Hey! For the devil to get me, he will remove the father first. And then remove the son. Because the Bible says the son is hidden in the father. And I am in the son. See, you know, people say a lot of things. I don't care the dream. I used to have a lot of funny dreams. But I believe his word more than my dream. We have a forward prophecy. I don't care what. Let witch be doing their own. There is witchcraft. There is Godcraft. What is craft? Craft is something designed. Have you forgotten? He said you are God's workmanship. You are his handcraft. Colossians. No, Ephesians. When they say something is workman, it's a craft. God designed you. You are his masterpiece. You are God's craft. And what God designed? Duru Tato. What? Sing it, sing it.
Sola so family do. Akololo.
Correct. Listen. We did not just come out. We are a new creature. A new creation designed by the hand of the Father. We are his masterpiece. Ephesians 2 and from verse 10. For you are his workmanship. You are his craftsmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. The material that was used to create a new creature was brought out of Christ. That's why the Bible says, when immortality swallowed up mortality, we shall be changed, because we are made of a stuff that does not die.
Yes, sir.
The material that was used was brought. And so, three kinds of people in the world: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the new creation. When Christ came, he brought part of the Gentiles and part of the Jews and matched them and produced another species. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. When a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah. We are made of him. He said you are born of an incorruptible seed that lives forever. Your life is forever. Yeah. That's why believers don't die. We sleep. And so when the revelation of Christ is done on you, all this witch, wizard, witch where? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Whosoever. Say whosoever. Say after me, I'm born of God. God cannot born a failure. I cannot fail. And so number one, in the revelation of Jesus, he reveals you to you. You say, Peter, you are the rock. So Peter saw himself immediately. He even though he didn't have a clear understanding because he was still a natural man, he could not retain that revelation. Yes. Number two, when you see Christ, you begin to see God. Christ is the picture of God. He is the express image of God. Whatever you did see in Christ or you have not seen in Christ is not in God. And that's why I told you, I've told you this several times, anybody anywhere that comes to give you any prophecy and you look for it, he gives you the prophecy in the name of God and say, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, thus says the Lord, and you look for that prophecy, you try to use Jesus as the measure and you cannot measure it up to what Christ has done for you in redemption, throw it away. What did I say? Delete. Press delete button. I don't care who said it to you. If it's dreadlock, it's even dragging the floor or sweeping the floor. I don't care who say it. Our standard is Christ. And so, if anybody comes to you in the name of God, some people say, as far as the person mentioned God, that we do it on your own. Whatever anybody tells you, and that's why you need the revelation of Jesus to escape the deception in our generation. Because the deception is so thick, it's so high, that people prophesy in the name of God and bring people into bondage. And so let Christ become that yardstick. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, he is the express image of God. There was nothing that was created that was not with him, through him, and for him. John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen the Father but the Son. Anything, he said, he tattoo. What I see the Father. He says, so whatever I'm doing is what the Father is doing. If I am not killing somebody as Christ, the Father does not kill. Number three, what the revelation of Jesus does to you, the revelation of Jesus unmasks the devil. You know who the devil is. Many of us confuse the activity of the devil for God. Say, you see this sickness, God give me this sickness so that he can teach me a lesson. And why are you praying that God should heal you? You should have learned your lesson with the sickness. Say, you see this sickness, God is this, a servant of God I respect so much. I respect, he's anointed. I respect, he has integrity. He said the reason God made him poor was because when God wanted to call him, he did not answer on time. He says, well, that's why he's poor. I tried to explain this revelation to him. He didn't understand. I said, it is not God. It's not in the character of God. It is in the Bible of Job. Job didn't know. He said, God gave and God took. No, it wasn't God that took. It was the devil that took. And so, he could not differentiate between God and the devil. He believed when the devil came and struck him, he believed it was God that was striking him. And so, what the revelation of Jesus does, it unmasks the devil. You know when it is not God doing something, and you know when it is him. You know when it is the devil. John chapter 14 and verse 30. The prince of this world has come and found nothing in me. No common ground. Jesus unmasked the devil. They didn't know the devil until Jesus came. Anything that happens, they say, see, God is angry with us. There are many believers like that. You attribute everything to God. Any act of wickedness. I was reading Joseph Prince's book, Unmerited Favor. And he was sharing the testimony. He said, those days when they were growing up in fellowship as brethren, he said, one brother had an accident. A powerful brother in Christ. And all of them begin to say, why will God take his life? Why? God, why have you done this? You know, people are quick to say, God, why this? Why me? Why me, God? You know, it's easy to just accuse God. But have you forgotten what the Bible says? It said the accuser of the saints. God is not the accuser of the saints. It said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And the accuser of the saint, he said, he has been sent. God does not accuse the saint. Don't attribute everything. God, you have done this to me. God, if you are good to me, by now, listen to me. And that's why you see people, everything, devil. Every of their prayer points, if you not put devil in it, they won't pray. I've been to a place where I was sharing this same scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. I said, begin to pray that the wisdom of God will come over you, that you have the revelation of God, that the eyes of your understanding. They were looking like me. It was a prayer point I was giving them. They were looking at me like this in Akure. And I was asking myself, I said, God, what is happening here? God said, check them very well. They are devil conscious. I now change the prayer point. I say, all are pariwo. They say, they like all such prayers. You know, when you don't put devil in a prayer point or create a scenario that exposes wickedness, they don't pray. They have lost the awareness of God so much that, you see, when you don't have the revelation of Christ, you lost the consciousness of who God is in your life. And so every time you just say, fire, fire, God, kill them, God, fire, God, kill them, God. Your neighbor, you have little misunderstanding. The next thing, just send the fire all the time, fire. God, kill him. May he not wake up. Listen, you don't know God. He doesn't kill. All those prayer, kill, fire, God, tear them. He remove his right eye, remove his left hand. God is not Dandaba. They were going to Jerusalem to preach. They had to pass through a city. And they restrained them. And one of the disciples said, Master, let's call fire down. Like Elijah, let's call fire. And clear all this so that we can, just to pass. Let's keep the whole city so that we can pass. Like Fulani men. Let's clear them just to pass. You just say, I would rather take another city. Say, if you know the kind of spirit, say, if you know. He said, if you know the kind of spirit that is in you, you won't say what you are saying. You won't say what. If you know the kind of spirit, and the spirit came from the Father, and Father will not give you the character he does not have. God was so misunderstood in the Old Testament, so misunderstood until Christ came. He said, what I see the Father doing. So whatever you did see Jesus do, God did not do. So stop attributing your failure to God. There's a way you can trust the devil. There's no doubt that we have spiritual warfare, but we fight it by revelation. Oh, glory to God. One day I'm going to teach you on spiritual warfare. How to fight. You should not be fighting in ignorance. And so we are koboko night. I saw one program on Facebook, Holy Ghost Cutlass. The pastor literally brought a cutlass into the church, and other members brought it. Who did they want to kill? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and from verse 4, the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. You see, this is your mouth. If you know how to use it, there's no weapon. And God woke you up at night, switch to another tongue. Sapara. You know, there's a tongue for spiritual warfare. You will know something. This is not it. You see, when I'm in spiritual warfare, my tongue change. I will know this is not a normal tongue. This is not a friendly one. And so God knows what to do to with the tongue. Lahambrasehika. You will know. This one, it's not like you are closing your eyes. You know something is happening. Listen to me. There's nothing that defeats the devil like mystery of tongues. I've taught you on tongues before. Now that was why he said, Apostle Paul pray. He said, even though you all pray and pray in tongues, he said, I speak in tongues more than ye all. Let's stay on our teaching. Let's stay on it. And so Colossians 1 and verse 9, he said that you may have spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is key. If you don't have spiritual understanding, you will live your life like unbelievers are living their life, because they are natural people. They are natural people. They will suffer natural things. They will enjoy natural things. But we are spiritual people. Say, I'm a spiritual man. Yeah. We know who we are. We know. Now, still greater was power which he which towards. Now, he said another thing, verse 19. What revelation of Jesus Christ brings to you is that, and it brings the exceeding greatness of his power. You come to the understanding of the dunamis. That exceeding greatness is two adjectives put together. Exceeding, a power that is self-contained. Say self-contained. It does not need external assistance. So stop praying to God and going to one Baba in Bere. No any assistant. You don't need candle to assist that power. You don't need Seserobia. All this holy Michael Giants candle. Holy, you know, somebody was telling me about a particular church where they used to burn incense. You see, when you are ignorant, people believe it is incense that bring the power of God into the atmosphere. And so when you come, they come to church, some of them will open their garment and put the incense. They want to receive power. Say, look, I can catch the power. Some of them say, give me that incense. They will sniff it. You are smoking in the church. Smoking in the church. Smoking. In his mind, he has just received power. We have done these things too before. Carry incense, your body. You pass beside somebody, your body will be smelling like an attendant in mortuary. All kind of perfumes. Praise God. Thank God for revelation. Where would I have been? By now would have been one chronic prophet somewhere on one mountain with dangerous dreadlock. So when you go to the mountain, you see there, you say, see, as soon as they sound, you know there's something beyond the Holy Ghost in this man. Hallelujah. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness? Self-contained power. Listen to me. Outside Christ, you don't need anything. Whatever Christ will not give to you, leave it. You don't need it. A name has been given unto him. The power is self-sufficient to produce you a baby. The power is sufficient in it. Does not need external assistance to give you a job. Once the Lord spoke, and what twice I heard the power. Somebody say power. The power here that Ephesians was talking about is talking about dunamis, the very power of God. It renew itself. And that was why Ephesians 3:20 says, for God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you may ask or imagine, according to the that is in. Now what's the power? It is revelation that produces a measure of power in you. So God is able to do to the proportion of revelation you have and to the power that has been reproduced on the inside of you. So it's not the question of what God can do or what he has not done or what he can do. It's the question of how much revelation do you have about what he can do. That's what differentiates us among believers. We have equal right but different understanding. A policeman on this same express will stop a man. He has all his documents intact because he does not understand his constitutional rights. He will be robbed of his little income. They will collect money from him. Another man will pass. They have equal rights. They have complete document. One understands his rights, one does not. And so the one that does not understand his rights will be molested and still be begging. The days of molestation is over in your life. Amen. The devil will no more molest you. Amen. See the way policemen harass people. That's how demons harass people spiritually. Yeah, just harass you because you don't know. You will see another man who has a clear understanding of his right. Policeman will stop him. Especially a senior advocate of Nigeria. Who does not only know his rights, who help other people to defend theirs. As soon as the man stop him, say, hey, gentleman, what can I do for you? He is too conscious. Say consciousness. He is too aware. He's been trained for over 5 years of knowing his rights and how to defend other people's rights. He is too aware. Right where he is sitting in his car, he can start telling the man the reason he should not stand on the road constitutionally. And so the man will be the one begging him and say, okay, it's not your type, we are looking, we can go on. See, the devil knows those who knows. Yeah. The devil knows. When you know, he knows. And that was why Jesus gave him, he gave him knowledge when he went to tempt him in Luke chapter 4. He said he knew he was hungry. 40 days of fasting and prayer. It's not a joke. He did not return out of the wilderness to a restaurant. He came onto a mountain. And the Bible said the devil met him and said, turn this stone to flesh. Jesus gave him knowledge. It has been written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceed out of the mouth of God. He now knew that Jesus knew. He too now quoted one face scriptures and gave him another lie. He said, jump from this mountain. And because he said he will not allow his angels, he will give his angels charge over thee, he will not allow thee to strike thy feet against the stone. He now quoted scripture for the devil, and the devil quoted scripture for him so that he can jump and fall down. Jesus gave him another one. He said, for the it has been written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Some of you tempt God. Yes. You use one scripture that does not make sense and say, because it is in the word of God, so I believe it. You're on your own. Praise God. According to the power. And that is, see, listen to me, what you need. You see, many of us we have misplaced our priorities as Christians. Check all the prayers of Apostle Paul, all the churches he wrote to. His emphasis was that they should have revelation in Christ. Because it doesn't matter the kind of job you get, the kind of salary, if you don't have, very soon, that money you are earning will still put you in trouble. If you don't have clarity of Christ. I was sharing with my wife, I said, forget anybody who is rich and that does not know Christ. He can do anything. He can do anything. Expect anything from anybody. Money is another spirit. That was why when Jesus was comparing, he said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means money. Why did he not say you can't serve God and wife? Why did he use money as another God, you know, alternatively to, you know, to God? You can't serve God and money. Listen to me. The reason God will not allow you to enter some levels of millions now is because you don't have enough revelation to keep you seated in Him when this money comes. So His mercy still keep the money until you grow into revelation. And see, if this man enter into million, he will stop coming to church. Bro, why did we see you? You say, Pastor, don't worry, I'll send money. We don't need your money. And so His mercy will say, God, let's let the money still hold up.
Mercy said no, that I will never let you go.
Sing with me.
I will never let you slip away. You don't gonna be afraid. Mercy.
Now, so His mercy has a way of keeping certain things from you when He checks your balance in Him. See, let's keep this from Him. Let Him come to understanding of how to handle. And that's why at times God will test you with 1 million. And say, my son, sow 200 into spirit life. Say, Lacuste Malega. Devil, I rebuke you. Lengrade, you know there's a tongue people say when you come. I want chronic tongue. How am I guarding? Because of money. He only tested you. What He has in stock for you is bigger than that. It's only testing your heart. It's not the money. I've told people before, I say, when Holy Ghost asks you to give money, it's testing the state of your heart. No, He doesn't need your money. But He wants to see if your heart has been circumcised. If you can let go of certain things when riches start coming. And so, when God asks you to give your car, does He need your car? He doesn't need your car. In fact, He will ask you to go and give a pastor who already has two cars. The pastor may not need. What He's trying to test is the condition of your heart. When you begin to understand this thing, because some of you start judging. That pastor is rich now. He doesn't need this money. God is not saying He needs money. He's asking you to go and give Him the money because of you, not for Him. He wants to check your understanding. You know, I've been a victim of that several times too. But thank God, knowledge is coming and we are growing beyond that. And so God say, okay, let him enjoy his million. Let's still keep him at a million level. Because if we take this man beyond million, the Bible said that rich man came to Jesus. He said, Master. He said, keep quiet. He knew the mind he came with. He said, God is the only master. Don't even call me one. He said, listen, what can a man do to enter into the kingdom? He said, fulfill the law. He said, I fulfill all the law. The man is a liar. Only Christ came and fulfilled the law. So for even saying that, he has just broken one law. So when he saw his heart, he said, okay. Jesus saw something in him. He saw, the Bible said, and the man really loved Christ. I said, the Bible said, Jesus loved the man for making that statement. He said, okay, go and sell everything you have. Give them to the poor. And follow me. Now, what? It was not his money Jesus wanted to take away. Jesus wanted to take something away from his heart that would deny him of the kingdom. And the Bible says, the man turned away and left with sadness. He left. He said, go and sell everything and follow me. You know what it means after you have gone into the university 5 years, Nigerian factor 8 years, service year, put together, you get a job and you are now working, you have saved a lot, and you go say, my son, resign and follow me. Resign where? Follow who? Promotion is hanging around. Follow who? Few months to my wedding was when I heard that voice. Thank God for my wife. When I called her, I say, I have heard a voice, so say I should resign. My wife said, if you know you have heard the voice clearly, I can't argue with the voice. And see where we are today. Listen to me. All the years that I worked in the bank, what I did with my effort or put together in the 7 years I worked, when I obeyed and followed, he has blessed me with everything I couldn't get then, sweating. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your life. I bet you, trust him with your life. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Never! But he won't give up. Let me tell your neighbor, he's able. Sing it. He's able. He's able. Now listen, listen, let's go back to our teaching. Let's go back. Now, I stopped at the book of Daniel. How many of you did the assignment I gave you? If you don't do it, don't raise up your hand. How many of you remember the assignment? Go and study. Okay, it was the second service I gave the assignment. Sorry. I said, go and read Daniel chapter 2 from verse 28, right? Where Nebuchadnezzar had a revelation and he saw a statue. And the statue had a golden hilt and a sleeve, a chest, and a brazen belly. And the feet was clay and iron. And when this man had this revelation, he was confused. And Daniel was called to come and interpret. And in that revelation, this statue, like a man, a stone came out of a rock and hit the statue, and the statue was broken into pieces, and the king did not understand. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the example of the gold, or a type, or a symbol of the head of the gold, which was a symbol of the richest kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was a king that happens to be the richest in the world at the time. Very, very rich. He was so rich that the streets of Babylon were plated, like you have paving stone on the streets. That was how they used gold to decorate the street of Babylon. That was why when he saw Babylon and about 127 provinces that was under him alone, he looked up and said, look at what I have become. And that is pride made him for 7 years eat like an animal in the wilderness. And so God gave him a revelation that you are the goal. He said, another kingdom will come that will overtake yours, the Medo-Persia. Yeah, where Esther was married to that king was another kingdom that came thereafter, after the kingdom of Babylon, the Persians. And so they will represent the chest of that statue, which was sliver. And so the bronze is another kingdom, which is the kingdom of the Greeks. The kingdom of the Greeks has knowledge as their form of dominion. They know so much. They know so much. So they dominate the world by knowledge. And so later, the Roman came, which is a represent or a symbol of the iron and stone. Among all the kingdoms that have reigned, the Roman happens to be the strongest. And that was why that revelation typified them with iron and clay mixed together, the Roman Empire. They were so strong that they hijacked the church. They hijacked the church. They were appointed. The government was the one appointing priest and pope. That's why till tomorrow, a pope cannot be relegated, especially in the Europe. It's the activity of a government. He said that government will come. They almost pervert the church, the Roman Empire. He said, but I saw a rock that came out of a mountain that hit this statue. And the Bible says the statue broke into pieces. He said, and this rock grew big into a mountain that covers the whole earth. He said, and its kingdom reigned forever. By your blood, we cross principality. Sing with me, sing with me. Jesus. Jesus, by your blood, by your name, establish authority. Jesus, Jesus the righteous. Hold it there. Now, Daniel was not giving him the interpretation. He said, oh, you king, that mountain, that rock or stone that came out of a mountain that hit that statue is a kingdom that is coming. He said your own kingdom will be overtaken by another one. The one that overtook your kingdom, another kingdom, which is the kingdom of the Greeks, will overtake. He said another will be overtaken by the Roman. He said, do you remember that Jesus was born during the Roman Empire? He was that kingdom that came and destroyed. And now listen to me. That's why I'm telling you, no headsman or headsmen, Mayati, whatever they call them, ISIS, can take Christianity from the map of Nigeria. I'm telling you because this is prophetic. I don't care where they gather. I'm telling you, go. You know, I've told you last week, travel to anywhere you want to travel. No devil will touch you. I'm telling you this. Travel anytime. As far as you are led to travel. No headsman. If any headsman stop you, God wants to bring a glory out of it. Let them take you. That I know, my God. The Bible says in the kingdom of Babylon, they took this man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say, we know our God. He is able to. He say he is able. He say, oh, you king. We know our God is able to do. But if he trusts not to, we still trust him. We know in him is the capacity to deliver us. Anywhere you see cow, don't be scared again, because cow is not scaring people now. Anywhere you just see cow, you are afraid. Yeah. Because they just push cow on the street, on the express. And as soon as you see cow, cow is what is scaring us in Nigeria now. Cow. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Bible says mountains keep. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a strange land, Israel is dominion and Judah is sanctuary. The sea saw and fled. Jordan was driven back. Mountains keep like ram and little ease. You carry divine presence more than what they carry. What was before them was a cloud of fire at night, and that was what mountains saw. That was what the devil saw and skipped. What you have now, it was not outside. You have it inside of you. You have that fire, that cloud inside of you, which is the presence of God right inside of you. And so the devil, don't be afraid of any headsman. Christianity cannot be taken. They say, you see, it happened in Turkey. That, listen to me, Turkey is not Nigeria. And the revelation they had then was not the revelation we have now. You are in generation of revelation. And let me tell you, what caused the death of most of those churches is still all of this. Most of those churches are Catholic churches that were crashed out. They were not really, some of them were not really serving God. Some of them really did not understand what they were doing. They didn't even have the revelation. Some of them were into what they were doing because of position and money. And so he said, a storm will come from out of the mountain and we crash. Say crash. Yeah. I want to show you a scripture quickly. Very important. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I say shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, time is far spent. We'll have to continue in Yoruba service. But listen to me. Let me just give you scripture. Then we go on. 1 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed instead of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. Now that was why when Zechariah wanted to build a house, he said, they said, we'll build a house. God said, I am God, I don't live in mortal houses. He said, the house I'm going to build for myself is a spiritual house. And that was why I said to Zechariah, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. I'm going to build a house by the spirit. And my son will be the cornerstone. And you are that spiritual house. You and I. And now listen to me. Verse 6. Okay, let me read from verse 8 because of time. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, disobedient, were unto also they were appointed. Let me read verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so in the revelation of Daniel chapter 2, Jesus was that stone, and he's alive today. Tell anybody he's alive. Yeah, Jesus is alive. And that's why you should rejoice. No matter what the challenges you are going through, Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14 downward, it says, for we have not an high priest that does not have the feeling of our infirmity. We don't have a high priest that does not know how we are feeling. He knows what you are going through because he once lived on this earth. He was once hungry. He once lost his friend. He cried. All of those is to tell you, Jesus knows what it means when you lost someone. He expressed his humanity. Jesus wept. He was hungry. He was thirsty. Whatever you are going through, he was rejected. If you are being rejected, he knows what you are feeling. We have a high priest that understands this feeling of infirmity. Are you blessed this morning? Bow down your head and say, God, bring me. Pray that same prayer in Ephesians 1. Let the eyes of my understanding be illuminated, that I may know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and his inheritance. Our inheritance, rather, in Christ Jesus. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. May we grow in understanding of who you are in our life. May we grow in revelation. May we grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
I think if you're clamping for Jesus, you should do better. Hallelujah. If you want, let's just bow our heads and bless the man of God, our Father, whom the Lord have used for us this morning. Just say, Lord, we ask that you refresh him in the name of Jesus. Every virtue that has gone out of him, the Lord should replenish it in many folds in the name of Jesus.